The next item on the agenda will be a public hearing, proposal to amend Chapter 4 VAC 20-1270-10 and sequence pertaining to Atlantic Menhaden related to the transfer of management authority of the species from the General Assembly to the Virginia Marine Resources Commission and to be in compliance with the Atlantic States Marine Fishery Commission Atlantic Menhaden Fishery Management Plan to avoid a moratorium of the fishery effective June 17, 2020. Mr. Pat Gear, Chief of Fisheries.
Okay, good morning, Commissioner, members of the Commission.
Good morning, sir.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be as short as Mr. Owens because we have to go through an entire regulation today. And we are now moving on to the slides. Thank you. This is the public hearing, as Commissioner mentioned, on Chapter 4 VAC 20-1270-10 pertaining to Atlantic Menhaden. Related to the transfer of management authority of the species from the General Assembly to the PMRC and to be in compliance with the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission's Atlantic Menhaden Fisheries Management Plan to avoid the moratorium of the fishery effective June 17th. I'd like to start off by thanking Commissioner Bowman, Deputy Commissioner Bolin, the staff, and the hundreds of individuals, both recreationally and commercially, who worked so hard this legislative session to bring this to fruition. It took a lot of work, and you know, we're very pleased that it's this responsibility is coming to the BMRC.
Thank you, sir.
Next slide, please. We're on slide two. And during my talk, since there is a delay, I'm going to be saying the slide number, and I will be saying the header as well, so there's a little bit of a pause. So this is slide two, Menhaden Management, a recent history. In November 2017, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission's Atlantic Menhaden Fisheries Management Board approved Amendment 3 of their Fisheries Management Plan. One of the items on the amendment was the bay cap, which was lowered from 87,216 metric tons to 51,000 metric tons. At the time, the General Assembly had full authority of Menhaden, the only marine species VMRC did not manage. The General Assembly did not adopt the new bay cap during the 2018 session. In May of 2018, the ASMRC board decided to postpone a vote on Virginia's compliance. It came up again in February 2019, and the decision was to postpone indefinitely. The VMRC would monitor the harvest and alert ASMRC if the bay cap was exceeded. The bay cap was exceeded in September 2019, first time since 2012, and ended the year nearly 30% over the bay cap. The ASMRC found Virginia out of compliance unanimously at its October 2019 meeting, and in December 2019, the Secretary of Commerce concurred with ASMRC's findings and gave Virginia until June 17th to correct the issue or face a complete moratorium in the Menhaden fishery. Next slide, please. Import card. Thank you. This is slide three. It's the 2009 bay quota harvest by week from the per same reduction fleet. It's a weekly landings relative to bay cap and the total quota. The red line is the bay cap and the blue is the total quota. And you can see that the bay landings shot up about 30% in the 3 weeks from August 2nd to August 23rd. During the week of ending September 6th, the sector exceeded the bay cap of 51,000 metric tons. And fishing continued for another 6 weeks, resulting in a 29.03% overage of the bay cap. The total landings, which includes the ocean as well for the state, ended the year at about 90% of the total state quota. Next slide, please. Okay, we're having some long time for these to come on. This is slide four, current Menhaden management. Although there were several attempts over the past few years to correct the bay cap issue with the General Assembly, no bill made it out of committee until this year. There were a total of 12 Menhaden bills introduced this last session, and through cooperation and negotiation, they were consolidated into identical bills. Senate Bill 791, which is sponsored by Senators Lewis, Cosgrove, DeStaff, Hasmey, and Stewart, and House Bill 1448, which is co-sponsored by Representatives Plum, Dye, and Knight. It was passed by the House on March 8th and the Senate on March 12th. The governor requested an emergency clause, so once it passed, it became law. So for the past 47 days, VMRC had management authority of Menhaden, but our regulation did not have the necessary content to do so. Thus, this public hearing today to present the regulation and request the Commission consider staff's recommendations. If approved, it will allow the purse seine season to start on schedule, which is on Monday, May 4th of this year. It will also avoid shutting the season down as a result of the moratorium, which will go into effect June 17th if we don't get a regulation passed. Next slide, please. This is slide five. These are sections of the code that have been removed from, repealed from House Bill 1448 and Senate Bill 791. You can see that section 28.2-400.2 mentions the entire Virginia quota as allocated each year by ASMFC. 28.2.4-400.3 discusses the annual state allocation by sector. And section 28.2-1000.2 pertains to the Bay Cap. So our goals for this regulation were to take these seven sections of code, determine which still apply, and make sure we can be compliant under ASMFC's Amendment 3 and incorporate them into our new regulation. Slide 6, please. These are sections of code that remain in the General Assembly. They were not repealed. They deal primarily with licensing, permit qualifications, area restrictions, which is section 28.2409, and closed purse seine seasons, which is section 28.2-410. Next slide. What we're going to be discussing today is, we're on slide 7 now, it's the VMRC regulation chapter 4, VAC 20-1270-10 pertaining to Atlantic Menhaden. It was last updated in August of 2017. We've incorporated the appropriate code sections repealed by the General Assembly in House Bill 1448 and Senate Bill 791 to ensure compliance with the Amendment 3 of ASMFC's Menhaden Fisheries Management Plan, as well as we've done some minor wordsmithing and language changes as well. Next slide, please. This is just a key. You all have the regulation in front of you. Typically, when we send you the regulations, if something is new language, it's underlined. If it's struck through, it's removed language. For purposes of this presentation, if it's in yellow, it's regulatory changes, and if it's the text is in brown, it's language changes. There will also be some text that appears in red, which are recommendations that came out of the Menhaden Management Advisory Committee. Next slide, please. I'm going to go through the entire regulation section by section, and I'll stop at the end of each section and ask if there's any questions, because it is quite detailed. The first section is section 20, which is our definitions. It starts on bottom of page 1 and continues on page 2 of the regulation. We added a new definition of Atlantic Menhaden, which is the genus and species, Bay Cap, and the Chesapeake Bay, and these are all shown underlined in yellow, and deleted the phrase non-purse and replaced it with a hyphenated non-purse. The Chesapeake Bay and the non-purse seine menhaden bait sector definitions are taken directly from the Code of Virginia, section 28.2-1000.2. Next slide, please. Let's have a lot of traffic today. Thank you. That's the second page for definitions continued. It's on page 2. We removed the reference to the Code of Virginia for the purse seine menhaden reduction sector since this section of the code was rescinded, and added definitions for qualified menhaden processing factory, which comes directly from section 28.2-400.3, and a new definition, stationary multi-species gear, which is defined in the Amendment 3 of the ASMC Fisheries Management Plan. Are there any questions from the Commission on definitions? Hearing none, I'll move on. Move on to slide 11. This is probably the most difficult part of the regulation. It's several sections. It's section 30, which is total allowable landings for menhaden, allocation, accountability, overages, restrictions, closures, and state-to-state transfers. It starts on page 3 of the regulation and goes through page 6. We added the terms restrictions, closures, and state-to-state transfers in the section title. In subsection A on page 3, we deleted all references to the Code of Virginia, defined the allowable commercial landings in 2020 as 372,443,990 pounds, or 168,937.75 metric tons, which is 78.66% of the ASNSC's coastwide total allowable catch. Throughout the regulation, we propose having allocations shown both in pounds and metric tons, along with the corresponding percentages. This is to avoid having to cross-reference these values with some other document, whether it be code, regulation, or the ASNSC Fisheries Management Plan. Slide 12. This is Section 30, Subsection B, which is on page 3 and 4 of the regulation. This is a new subsection, and it defines the percentage and allocation of the annual quota to the three sectors. The first sector, the purse seine reduction sector, which is 90.4% of the total state allocation. Two, which is the purse seine bait sector, which is 8.38% of the state allocation. And three, the non-purse seine bait sector, which is 1.58% of the total state allocation. These are in accordance to the average landings for each of these sectors for the years 2002 through 2011. These percentages were established back in 2013, and the numbers are slightly different than what appeared in the previous regulation, primarily just because of rounding errors. That's why we're carrying it out two decimal places so we can get precise numbers on here. So, moving on to slide 13. Which is still Section 30, Subsection C, which is on page 4 of the regulation. This is the old Section B, now becomes C. This section deals with overages from a sector being paid back to that to the same sector in the following year. An exception to this is the non-purse seine bait sector, which goes into an incidental catch provision described in a later subsection. This provision was established in the ASMSC's Amendment 2 of the Menhaden Fisheries Management Plan in December 2012. We're going to slide 14, which is still Section 30, and it's subsections D and E on page 4. They're both new subsections. Subsection.
Can we wait just there we go.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. You proceed.
A little ahead of myself.
That's okay.
Subsection D addresses the ASMSC's 1% coastwide quota set aside for episodic events. In some years, there are a few of the northern states, primarily New York through Maine, have large schools of menhaden in the waters that they would like to take advantage of. This set-aside accomplishes that with just a few restrictions. However, if that set-aside is not used by September 1, the unused portion is distributed back to all the states according to the coastwide allocation formula for that year. And this language originates from Section 28.2-400.2 of the Code of Virginia. Subsection E is to address two sections of the code that remain the responsibility of the General Assembly. They are included in the regulation for reference only. Section 28.2-409 addresses prohibited areas for purse seines, and Section 28.2410 addresses closed purse seine season and prohibited nets. The purse seine season is closed in the bay between the Saturday following the third Friday in November and the Sunday preceding the first Monday in May. In English, that means that our season this year will be May 4th through November 20th in the bay. And in east of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, the prohibition shall be between the Friday before Christmas and the Sunday preceding the first Monday in May, or the season will be in that area from May 4th to December 18th this year. It is also unlawful for any person to use any purse seine net or other net having stretch mesh greater than 1¾ inches. Next slide, slide 15. Okay, thank you. This is subsection F on section 30. It's on the bottom of page 4 and continues on page 5. It's a new subsection, and it gives the commission the authority to close a specific sector once 100% of the allowable landings of that sector are achieved. This includes the purse seine reduction sector, the purse seine bait sector, and the non-purse seine bait sector, which the last one goes into an incidental bycatch fishery once the quota is met, with an allowance of 6,000 pounds per day or 12,000 pounds per day if two licensed individuals on board. Much of this language comes from the Code of Virginia, Section 28.2-400.4. And now moving on to slide 16, which is the last section in Section 30, Section G. It's on the bottom of page 5, continues on to page 6. This allows transfer of quota between the states in accordance to the ASMSC criteria. Quota cannot be transferred to make up for the overage in the bay cap. This language comes directly from the Code of Virginia, Section 28.2-400.2 and Section 28.2-1000.2. I know that's a lot, but I want to know if there's any questions on Section 30 at this time.
Any questions by members of the commission?
No, sir.
Hearing none, we'll move on.
Mr. Tankard?
No, sir. I don't have any questions.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Proceed, please.
Okay, we're going to move on to Section 35, which is slide 17. And this is the Chesapeake Bay Purslane Menhaden Reduction Fishery. This is on page 6 of the regulation.
Wait for that to come up. There we go. Thank you. Proceed, please.
This is a new section in the regulation with three subsections, all originating from Code of Virginia, section 28.2, 1000.2. Subsection A, which is on page 6, deals with the bay cap, which in 2020 will be 36,196 metric tons, or 79,798,520 pounds. This is less than last year due to the overage in 2019. If there is no overage in the bay cap in 2020, it is expected that it will return to 51,000 metric tons in 2021. Divisions 1 through 3 originate from the ASMSC Amendment 3. They address the fact that accepting transfers from other states to avoid the bay overage is prohibited, there is no carryover of unused bay quota, and the overages must be deducted from the following year's bay cap. This is a real important note. This is probably the most important part of this regulation. The purslane reduction sector exceeded the bay cap in 2019 by 14,804 metric tons. The governor's executive director, Directive 9 of March 31st of this year, directed the commission regarding regulations to Atlantic menhaden pursuant to House Bill 1448 and Senate Bill 791, requested the ASMSC allow the payback of the purslane reduction fleet harvest in equal amounts over 2 years, over the years of 2020 through the 2021 fishing season. Commissioner Bowman sent a letter to ASMSC on April 1st of this year requesting just that we could pay it back over 2 years. The ASMSC responded on April 6th, responding that Amendment 3 requires, and I quote, harvest above the cap in any given year will be deducted from the next year's allowable harvest. So the overage that we had in the bay in 2019 must be paid back completely in 2020. Next slide. Okay. This is slide 18, which is section 35 still. It's subsections B and C, which are on the bottom of page 6 and onto page 7. Refer to the Commission's authority to close the purslane reduction sector when the annual bay cap is met. Staff monitor the catch on a weekly basis and can estimate when that cap will be met. And subsection C prohibits the harvest of menhaden by purslane for reduction purposes in the bay once the Commission closes the season. Are there any questions on this section, Section 35?
Any questions by members of the Commission on Section 35? Proceed, Mr. Gere. Thank you.
Moving on to slide 19. Yeah, thank you. This is section 40, which is the purslane menhaden bait sector, limited entry criteria, individual transferable quota system, and season, which is on page 7 of the regulation. We added the term end season into the title with some minor wordsmithing in subsection 8, changing applicant to person and the word must to shall. Moving on to the next slide. Slide 20. Thank you. This is slide 20, subsections B and D. Subsections B and C on page 7 remain unchanged, and subsection D, which is on the top of page 8, is coming directly from the Code of Virginia, section 28.2-411. This section was last updated in 1992, and it's not completely clear why, but it essentially limits the smaller vessels using purslane to catch bait to only March through May. This requires further examination. We discussed this with the MAC, the Menhaden Management Advisory Committee, and we're going to discuss this at future meetings to decide if this subsection D is still relevant. But for now, we just carried it over from what was removed from Code of Virginia. Is there any questions on Section 40?
Any questions by members of the Commission on Section 40? Proceed, Mr. Gere.
Thank you. Moving on to slide 21. OK. Okay, slide 21 is section 50 of the code, which is non-purchasing Manhattan base sector quota allocation. It's on page 8 of the regulation. We did some wordsmithing in the title, deleting the term and bycatch provisions. The percentages in subsection A1 through A7 were established in 2013. They were updated in 2017. The percentages were added to the regulation for convenience of reference, as I mentioned earlier. And the numbers in pounds changed slightly due to rounding errors from the preceding version of the regulation. Moving on to the next slide. Slide 22. Slide 22 of section 50 is subsection B, which is bottom of page 8. It was deleted entirely since the reference code of Virginia has been rescinded, and the 6,000-pound bycatch allowance is mentioned in section 30, subsection F3 of this regulation on page 5. Are there any questions on section 50?
Proceed, please.
Thank you. We're on to slide 23. Thank you. This is section 60, which is reporting requirements by the Manhattan Fishery, which is on page 9 and 10. Subsection A has some minor language changes. Division A1 is directly from section 28.2-400.3, with the deleted portion of subsection A, which starts with the term once 97% of either per sane, is shown in yellow, and it's struck through, moved down in this section to Division 2. It's at the bottom of the page. The text in red is clarifying language suggested by members of the Manhattan Management Advisory Committee in regards to daily versus weekly reporting requirements. Moving on to next slide. This is slide 24. Thank you. This is slide 24, section 60. The subsection B, which is on page 10, has some of the language, has just some minor language changes, and subsection C is deleted entirely because it's no longer, landings are no longer reported in this manner, and the incidental bycatch provision for the non-purchasing base sector in section 30, subsection F of this regulation, so it's no longer necessary. Are there any questions about section 60?
Any questions by members of the commission on section 60? Proceed, Mr. Gear.
Thank you. We're now on slide 24. 25, I'm sorry. Thank you. This is section 70, which is penalties, which are page 10. This is remains unchanged, and it's, as it stated, any violation of the chapter is a Class 3 misdemeanor, with the second violation within 12 months being a Class 1 misdemeanor. And that's the last section we have. Are there any questions on section 70? Based on penalties?
Any questions on section 70 by members of the commission? Thank you, Mr. Gear. Proceed.
Next slide. Slide 26. I know that was a lot to take in, and I appreciate your patience with me on that, Commissioner, members of the commission. Since we could not have meetings of our, this is a public comment, which is slide 26. And since we could not have meetings of our advisory committees, we sent out the regulation to all of our FinFish Management Advisory Committee and CMAC Crab Management Advisory Committee members and asked for their comments and whether they supported or opposed the regulation as written. We received one response from the CMAC members who was supportive. We received 8 responses from the FMAC members, 6 supportive and 2 opposed. Comments included concerns with using the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel as the demarcation line for the Chesapeake Bay and creating more prohibited areas for the purchasing reduction sector to include a 1-mile buffer off public beaches and a complete prohibition in state waters out to 3 nautical miles from Memorial Day to Labor Day from Cape Henry Light south to Sandbridge Fishing Pier. The Manhattan Management Advisory Committee met by electronic means on Monday, April 30 for their first meeting. The committee unanimously supported the modifications as proposed with just minor editorial changes. They suggested several items that they would like to discuss at future meetings, one of them being the demarcation line. Another one was a few of the sections, just, you know, looking at them and looking at the years that he used to determine the allocations and things like that. But the meeting went quite well, considering it was our first meeting, and we had it as an electronic meeting, and it went surprisingly very well. It was, you know, we worked through the issues, we went through the regulation, and we're hoping that once we can get back to a normal state of working, that we can have a face-to-face meeting and start discussing some other issues. As far as written comment, we received 212 written comments from the general public by the close of business yesterday at 5 p.m., and that's in the attachment that you have. 2,007 of them were in favor of the regulation, and 5 only had a comment. They didn't say whether or not they supported it or not.
That was 207, not 2,007.
I'm sorry, it was 212 total written comments, 2,007 of them.
Okay.
We're supportive. I'm sorry.
Okay, because the slide is just a little. So
there's a zero missing on that. Yes.
Okay.
No, that's right.
It's in the hundreds.
Okay,
so
but
it's 212 were received and 207 were for.
Yes,
thank
I'm
you,
sorry.
Ma'am.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
but we received. There's a mistake on that. I apologize. There was 194. Sorry, it's 212. There was 194 responses, which were auto-generated emails from the service of publictoaction.com that generally supported the regulation. We received one letter from the Virginia Anglers Club, which was signed by 11 members, and we had 7 individuals' responses supporting the regulation, with some suggesting, as I said earlier, further modifications of the Chesapeake Bay definition and further prohibited areas for the purse seine. I guess at this point we would open the floor.
No, not at this point. What we will do, number one, just a couple of comments. Mr. Gere started out by thanking those involved with the passage of this legislation. I would like to echo that comment. One of the most important parts of this legislation involved the involvement of the public in the Menhaden Management Advisory Committee, which, by virtue of code, required a cross-sector of those involved with the various fisheries to be involved in the decision-making process. And I just would like to take this opportunity to thank those members who agreed to serve on that committee, which will be able to give us, which have given us, some foresight and some guidance, and we look forward to continued participation with that group as we move along to continue to work with this fishery. I would like to say one thing that I think for many years there was some concern about how this fishery would be managed once it was transferred to BMRC. And I'd just like to read one thing, and it won't take long, into the record. And it deals under 28.2, Section 203 of the Code of Virginia, that defines how the commission is to prepare fishery management plans and standards. And this is the code section that from the very first time I took the dais as chairman of the commission in 2006 that I followed, but I think it's important that I read it into the record. It says, the commission shall prepare and implement fishery management plans so as to preserve the Commonwealth's exclusive right to manage the fisheries within its territorial jurisdiction. Any fishery management plan prepared and any regulation promulgated to implement the plan shall be consistent with the following standards for fishery conservation and management. Number one, conservation and management measures shall prevent overfishing while achieving the optimum yield for each fishery. The optimum yield of a fishery means the amount of fish or shellfish which will provide the greatest overall benefit to the Commonwealth, with particular reference to commercial fishing for food production and to the recreational sector. Conservation and management measures shall be based upon the best scientific, economic, biological, and sociological information available. To the extent practicable, an individual stock of fish shall be managed as a unit throughout the territorial waters of the Commonwealth, and interrelated stocks of fish shall be managed as a unit or in close coordination. Conservation and management measures shall not discriminate among user groups. If it becomes necessary to allocate or assign fishing privileges among various user groups, such allocation shall be fair and equitable to all fishermen and double I reasonably calculated to promote conservation and three little I carried out in such a manner that no person acquires an excessive share of such fishing privileges. Number five, conservation and management shall, where practicable, promote efficiency and utilization of fishery resources, except that no such measure shall have economic allocation as its sole purpose. Number six, conservation and management measures shall take into account variations among and contingencies in fisheries, fishery resources, and catches. And last, number seven, conservation and management measures shall, where practicable, minimize regulatory burdens which inhibit innovation, expansion, and normal business operation. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the law. That shall be the law as we manage this fishery, just like we do any other fishery. It will be managed on the best science and will not be managed in any other manner that deviates from that section. So I think it was just important to read that in there. At this time, I would like to ask members of the commission if you have any questions of Mr. Gear before I open it up to public comment. Mr. France?
No, I don't.
Mr. Tankard?
No, sir, no questions.
Thank you. Mr. Zedrin?
No, sir.
Dr. Neal?
Yes. I have more questions, but the presentation was excellent. We answered almost all of them. My question really concerns what DMRC does not have jurisdiction over. My understanding of the presentation is that we do not have the authority to change what the demarcation line is, whether Chesapeake Bay is used or some other line, Bakerstown used. And we do not have the authority to close areas that we need proceeding. Is that correct?
Mr. Gear, do you want to comment on it? Do you want me to comment on it?
I was trying to find the exact wording of it. It's in section 28.2, 410, which is the closed season for menhaden, it mentions that they added the words, or otherwise provided in regulation. That is not in section 28. That same term was not added to section 28.2-409, which is the prohibited areas.
So just to add to that, Mr. Gear and I have talked a little bit about some comments that were made at the Menhaden Management Advisory Committee, and we are of the opinion that we do have the authority to do certain things where maybe it was indicated in the management committee meeting that we did not. After further examination, keeping in mind there's a lot of material in this regulation, in this law that has changed, but we do have significant control, especially as it deals specifically with the exclusive right to manage this fishery. Does that answer your question, Dr. Neal?
Mostly, and I don't think we need to answer it all today, but I think that's going to be an ongoing thing of what is our authority and what still remains with the legislature, and I think that's going to be a lot of the public comment of what some people are asking. I'm not sure whether we actually have the authority or not, and but overall, everything was a great presentation. I'm very proud of what VMRC has done.
Thank you, Dr. Neal. As I indicated before, I think that we have broad discretion over the management of this fishery. There are some discussions as to whether we can move lines or whatever. I think that when the General Assembly was debating this and we were discussing this matter, I think it was ultimately determined that certain areas could be closed because of localized depletion or things such as that. So we do have broad discretion as to what's open, what's closed, what can be adjusted, and such as it deals in the waters of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
And those are some of the items that the members of the Menhaden Management Advisory Committee brought up about, you know, and we will be discussing in future meetings as well.
The bottom line on today's meeting and this measures that we have taken today, this is just the first step of the opportunity for creative thinking for all involved, whether it's the industry or whether it's the other sectors, to come together to determine what's in the best interest of the fishery. And while there will be disagreements, that's why the management committee has been assembled with a broad spectrum of those individuals that are involved in the fishery. But at the end of the day, the commission will make the decision. So We appreciate that. Mr. Ballard, do you have any questions?
I was wondering if Mr. Geer could talk a little bit further about the small boat section and the timing on that season and why that's different. I didn't quite understand that.
The purpose of it, I mean, it may end up being an antiquated section of code. Our goal was to move all the sections of code that were rescinded into our regulations. So when we went with the Menhaden Management Committee, we talked about that, and it was put in there to give the smaller boats a chance to catch some bait prior to the larger fleet going out, and that's why there was some March to May. It was a very short season. Talking to members of that committee, they questioned about whether or not there's any boats actually fit that guideline anymore. So we had it in the regulation, and we kind of decided, let's leave it in there for now, do some more investigation, and when we come back over the summer or in the early fall as a group, we can discuss whether or not we want to do something with that section. So it may be antiquated at this point. We're not 100% sure, but it appears that if there are any boats, it's just there may only be one or two boats that actually affect that. We're not sure of the numbers at this point. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Ballard. Mr. Minor, do you have any questions?
Not at this time.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Lusk?
No, sir, no questions.
Thank you. Ms. Everett?
No questions from me. I just wanted to mention that what a good job, considering obviously the circumstances as well, that staff has done with adopting this and doing what needs to happen before June. So great work, and I think this is a really important step in the improved management, and just commend all those who participated in making this happen so smoothly, especially.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. And to Ms. Everett's point, certainly we like to have every regulation as perfect as possible when they come before the commission. But as I said before, the necessity to move along in this manner, it came upon us pretty fast. Nobody realized that we would be dealing with the COVID situation where we couldn't get together and deliberate and collaborate. But what this does is it does allow not only the reduction fishery we hope to continue to fish, but also the very important bait fishery, because if the moratorium had gone into place or does still go into place June 17th, it would not only shut down the reduction fishery, it would shut down the bait fishery. So I think it's important also to let you know the steps that will be taken. Should this regulation pass today, we will immediately consult and forward the findings of the commission to the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. We would expect that Director Beal and his staff would then forward the findings of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission to the Department of Commerce, thereby eliminating the need for a moratorium as we have adopted the cap that's required under Addendum 3
mm-hmm.
of the Fishery Management Plan mm-hmm. at the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. So that was the significant necessity of moving forward with this regulation at this point, is to ensure that a moratorium did not occur on June 17th, thereby shutting down not only the reduction fishery, but the very important bait fishery as well. So with that, does any member of the commission have any further comment as a result of any discussion before I turn it over to public comment? Okay, Mr. Geer,
public comment. I'm going to open the line.
The conference is now in talk mode.
And do we have anybody on, nobody on YouTube said they want to speak. Okay, do we have anybody who's on the conference line would like to speak to the regulation?
They're seeing none. The public hearing is now closed.
Okay.
The conference is now in silent mode.
The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Does anyone wish to discuss further?
Commissioner, do I have to read the recommendation?
Sure. I'm sorry. Yeah,
I'm
please.
Sorry. The staff recommendations, the staff requests the commission approve amendments to Chapter 4 VAC 20-1270-10, pertaining to Atlantic Menhaden for the VMRC to accept management authority from the Virginia General Assembly and to be in compliance with ASMSC's Atlantic Menhaden Fishery Management Plan and to avoid statewide moratorium of the fishery effective June 17, 2020.
Thank you, Mr. Gere. Again, at this time, does any member of the Commission have any discussion? Further discussion? If not, the matter is before the Commission for action.
This is Ken Muir. I move to approve staff recommendation.
I'll second.
Was that Dr. Neal?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Neal. Is there a second to the motion?
Ms. Everett will second.
Seconded by Ms. Everett. Further discussion? We will now vote. Mr. France?
Aye.
Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Mr. Zedrin?
Aye.
Dr. Neal?
Aye.
Mr. Ballard?
Aye.
Mr. Miner?
Aye.
Ms. Lusk?
Aye.
Ms. Everett?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all involved today. I also indicated from the outset that this meeting format was approved by the Office of the Attorney General. The recommendations were provided. Ms. Kelsey Block has been on the phone with us as well, and I neglected to introduce her, but she's very much an integral part of these meetings. Kelsey, do you have any comments or anything to say?
No, sir.
Thank you for being with us today. Before we leave, I would like to thank everyone for their cooperation while we have been away from the building. We continue to try to run operations as best we possibly can while maintaining social distancing. Numerous conference calls. And I would just like to say, after watching the governor normally on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, please heed his advice as far as social distancing. Utilize your mask when you're in public. This will be gone before we know it, but we can do a lot to help it move along. So please heed the governor's advice. We thank you for your cooperation. It's a pleasure for all of us to serve the citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned.